get today. When all the burdens from my soul rolled away, it made me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. Now I can feel him by my side. My feeble steps, he comes to guide. When trials come, he comforts me. Through faith in him, our sin, I have the victory. I never shall forget today. When all the burdens from my soul rolled away, it made me happy, glad, and free. I sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I'm the last old sinner, come to Jesus now. At his dear feet, just humbly bow, confess to him your every sin. He'll save and cleanse you, give you peace and joy within. I sing, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens from my soul rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's there. I'd sing the chorus now. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens from my soul rolled away. Oh, it made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's there. I'd sing it one more time. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens from my soul rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me.
Amen. How many can remember the day the Lord saved you? Amen. Aren't you glad about when the day the Lord saved you? Amen. I'm so glad. I'll never forget that day. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've come to church on a Friday night to have some church. Aren't you glad? Aren't you? Amen. We're going to go back and sing that last verse, and I want you to sing it now. Sing it out. Oh, sinner, come to Jesus now. At his defeat, just humbly bow. Confess to him your every sin. Oh, he'll save and cleanse you, give you peace and joy. I'll sing it now. I never shall forget the day.
It's good to be here tonight in the house of the Lord. Amen. My, the devil might not like it, but we sure don't care, do we? Oh, I'll tell you what, it's good to have every single one of you here to worship tonight. We have some of our preacher friends from all over, and I'm just so glad that they came. I'm going to ask Brother Doug Weaver if he would carry us to the throne room in prayer, sir.
When my plans have fallen through and I don't know what to do, I just look unto the hills whence cometh my help. When the dreams I dreamed have died, and I need a place to hide, I just look unto the hills whence cometh my help.
touch of hands so kind and tender, and they're leading me in paths that I must trod. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. I trust in God. I know He cares for me.
Folks out, and we're back there, and everybody's, where's everybody at? Where's everybody at? Got a lot of folks out of the choir. The Lord knew who exactly was going to be here this evening. Knew exactly what we stood in need of tonight. He knew you were going to be here tonight. That song, Benita, come around, if you would. Clint, come play. Let's do, Did I Mention, if you don't mind.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. All is lost, save knowing Christ. Old John said He is precious by leaning on His bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify.
Did I mention that I love Him? How I worship and adore Him when I can see the way He makes a way. Did I mention He's been faithful to every promise He ever made me? I love Him, that's all I want to say.
How many sermons can be preached about this Jesus? About God's Son. Now there's not enough words, enough notes and the music to tell the story of all my Savior has done. And adore Him when I can see the way
He makes a way.
Makes a way.
Did I mention He's been faithful to every promise He ever made me? I love Him, that's all. Did I mention that I love Him? How I worship and adore Him when I can see the way.
he could paint a sunset in the western sky, if he could make the sun to rise in the east, if he could rise up from the grave after dying on a tree, then I know Jesus can take care of me. If he can walk on the water where I am, if he can calm the raging storm when my ship is going down, then why should I worry when I have this peace? I know Jesus can take care of me. He could save the Hebrew children from the fire, if he could rescue Daniel from the lion's teeth, and if for the children of Israel he could part the Red Sea, then I know Jesus, he can take care of me. If he can walk on the water where I am, if he can calm the raging storm when my ship is going down, then why should I worry when I have this peace? I know Jesus can take care of me. Aren't you glad after all these years that the Lord still cares for his people? Amen. He'll take care of us no matter what you're going through. He can walk on the water where I am. And if he can calm the raging storm when my ship is going down, then why should I worry when I this peace? I know Jesus can take care of me. Oh, I know Jesus, he can take care of me. I thank you, Lord, for taking care of me.
Aren't you glad of that tonight? Hallelujah.
I can tell you I'm nothing, and I would be telling the truth. I can say I am worthless, a hopeless sinner, that's true. Oh, but that is just part of the story I haven't told everything. I was lost, reborn, and made the child the King, and I'm a royal descendant of a king from Jerusalem. I'm part of the bloodline of David, now that's who I am. Jacob and Abraham. I'm a royal descendant of a king from Jerusalem.
this world, can I stand and say such a thing? To say I am royal and to claim that my Father, He's a king. I'll have to take you to that altar where it happened 50 years ago. I met this king. I was washed in his blood, and that's all I know. And I'm a royal descendant of a king from Jerusalem.
Listen.
Oh, I'm part of the bloodline of David. Now that's who I am. Jacob and Abraham. Oh, I'm a royal descendant of a king from Jerusalem.
Aren't you glad you saved tonight? Say amen. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. Most requested song around here. Amen. It's not on this side, but it's on the other side that I'm looking for. Hallelujah.
As I walk through the years of my life, I face troubles. There's so much trouble. Strife, oh, but I know my hope is on the other side. See that we don't understand the burden so great is lifted only by His hand. Until one day when we awake on the other side. On the other side,
I'll see Jesus. On the other side, sweet peace at last
is where
Satan cannot hinder any more.
On the other side,
the gates swing open. On the other side, I'll enter in.
And I'll reside
with Jesus, my just on the other side.
Sorrows down here, oh, there's more than a few. Oh, but there's a place, it's for me and it's for you. It's in that city, it's over.
Are you looking for that day? Hallelujah.
Side. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. What about you? Oh, I'll tell you, have you enjoyed the day since tonight? Oh, they're going to be back tomorrow night as well. All right. Brother Partain, are you in the congregation? Sitting right beside my wife. Amen. Brother, we've been waiting. And we're excited. Now you come on, bring your family, do whatever God leads you to do right now. Say amen to him coming. Amen. Praise God.
Well, this is one place that I can come and normally feel at home and feel liberty to share my heart. I don't ever feel rushed here. But it's almost like an atmosphere of, and I hope y'all don't think I'm goofy or crazy or I ain't been watching fairy tales or nothing like that. I'm talking about trying to discern what direction the service needs to go.
Amen.
And I think that's very important.
Oh my God.
I've had people get mad at me right here in Noonan at a church that I used to go to. Not you, Brother Brian. But the church that I used to go to, a man got upset with me because Doug Bearden was going through a hard time at one time. And I asked him, they called on me to sing, and the Lord impressed upon my heart to ask him to come pray and let the men gather around him. And the pastor of that church got upset with me because he felt like if that happened, it needed to go through him. And I believe in pastoral authority, but when somebody looks at you and says, mind the Lord, then what you supposed to do? Mind the Lord. And that's what I want to do tonight. I have a great burden on my heart that you need to hear this song, and we never start with this song. But it's been the theme of the whole night. When everybody else walks out, Jesus comes walking in. When all my friends went to walking out, Jesus come walking in. When all my church peers went walking out on me, even when my companion didn't understand, even when I couldn't go to my daddy who is a mentor to me, when everybody else walked out, it was Jesus that come walking in. When I had to bury my mother and go back to Alabama, boy, that was tough. Leave my family in Georgia, bury mom and go back to Alabama, it was Jesus that come walking in. When I had to go back to Georgia and bury my brother at just 47 years old and went back to Alabama and left my family, it was Jesus that come walking in. I was in West Virginia last week at the Taze Valley Baptist Church, and I hope this terminology don't bother you, where the Holy Ghost sat down on me. Taze Valley Baptist Church, I'm sitting on the back bench. My brother, we just had buried him, and I'm sitting on the back bench of the church. Am I all right, Brother Mel? I'm sitting on the back bench of the church, big church, thousands of people, minding my own business. We had already sang and sat down. I was tired. My brother was, body hadn't even got good and cold yet. We just had buried him. And a man whom I did not know got up behind the pulpit and he said, I had to bury my brother. Boy, my ears perked up. I thought the Lord's fixing to tell me something. Now listen. I'm telling you the truth. He said, and when I buried him, had a hard time. He said, but I could almost see him running down the sidelines when my daddy was watching me play football. He said, I'd run the ball, and my daddy would run down the sidelines saying, run, boy, run. He said, I could almost see my brother leaning over the balconies of heaven and saying, run, boy. Run, boy. And I'm telling you, God got a hold of me on that back bench. And I could almost hear my brother saying, run, Carl. Run, Carl. Run, Carl. I might have dropped the ball, but you run, boy. And I never forget the Spirit of God sitting. Got on me so heavy that I had to go to the bathroom and sit down beside the commode and ask God to take his hand off of me. It was so strong. You say, well, I don't believe that. It sounds Pentecostal. Then you just be dry Baptist the rest of your life then. I'm Baptist. And what somebody needs tonight is somebody to walk into your life. Everybody goes a-walking out, and Jesus comes a-walking in. That's what he done to me in that church service that day. I thought I didn't have a friend in the world, and everything had failed. Everybody had walked out. The devil was a-bothering me, and here come Jesus, come walking right in the middle of it and turn my life around. I want you to listen to Becca sing this song, that he'll be with me even to the end. When everybody walks out, Jesus comes walking in. I love this song. Sing it now.
Jesus is my high tower, my light in the dark hour. Without him. can feel him walking right by me. When everyone walks out, that's when he walks in, proving once again that he's my dearest friend. And he promised he'd go with me always, even till the end. Just as long as this world stands, he promised. The best friend in my life, and he is the rock upon which I stand. He's the present help in time of need. When this old world has left me all alone, I can feel him walk.
Deepest place your heart has ever known. And when you're standing in your darkest trial, and it seems you're standing all alone. And when the tears fall down like bitter rain, and you're wondering if the sun will shine again. In the midst of disappointment, just look around. You'll find a faithful friend. Now he's walked
through my darkest valley, shining light upon the lily by the way.
And he has
picked me up and helped me when I thought I could not face another day.
When my
heart has stopped in singing and my mind was simply searching for an end,
I can tell you by experience. He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother ever can. with the ones that you have trusted. Prove untrue, on Him you can depend. Now He will never fail or let you down, and His love will help your broken heart to mend. So pick up the broken pieces and look around. You'll find a faithful friend. Now He's walked
through my darkest valley, shining light upon the lily by the way.
He has
picked me up and helped me when I thought I could not face another.
Experience.
I found a faithful friend.
Now when my
heart has stopped its singing and my mind was simply searching for an end,
I can tell you by experience.
So faithful to me.
And you said in your word.
never leave.
Would never leave or forsake me.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Oh, I'll go with you even to the end. For your blood, it has cleansed me from all guilt and sin. And I know your promise
I can hold on to.
So dry, barren land.
And when I don't know
which way to turn or go,
I still trust you, Lord. So
let me hold to your hand.
I still trust
you, Lord. So let me hold to your
lively services. Makes them a little nervous. But there's really no telling what God would do here tonight. You say, well, you just ought to preach. Well, I know that sounds good. I know that's what we're accustomed to. I know that. I know that's the norm. I know that's the norm. But I heard one preacher say it like this. He said, our problem is we've been going to church too long. How about that? We're used to this thing. We know what to do. Got it figured out. We know how to play the game. Sometimes, or most of the time, I found out that God does not work in my box. He just don't. He don't work on my time schedule. We box Him up on Sunday mornings and say, now, Lord, if you're going to meet with us, I really appreciate it if you would do it from about 11 to 12. We're going to give you an hour. If you do that, we'd appreciate it. And if you miss us that morning, Lord, we'll be back, you know, Sunday night. But, you know, another hour is about all we're going to give you. I feel like that's how we do Him sometimes. When some of the best meetings I've ever been in is when everybody else went home. And then God showed up and really moved in a mighty way. Some of the greatest revivals that ever took place, you hear the tales of the Isle of Lewis and Duncan Campbell, all those guys. That man said with a tear in his voice, he said, it wasn't because of me. He said, God decided to move. And it wasn't even a church service when God decided to move. He said, they had to wake me up and tell me that God was moving. He said, but God began to move through the moors and the villages of that community.
and I was in the bed. You don't work on our time schedule. And I realize what our purpose is here tonight, the Winter Jubilee, and the excitement of that. Sometimes I feel like we do want God to move when we want Him to move, and like to get out at certain times. And I'm respectful to that. If Brother Melvin told me right now, give me 30 minutes, I'd do 29 and a half and 30 just in case, and left that little 30 second just in case I missed it by a few seconds. I believe in the man of God and his conducting of the service. But when a man says, mind the Lord, that's a different story, folks. And there's probably people here tonight that just simply hadn't done what the Lord said to. I could sing you to death. I've got 150 songs in there, and you've heard them all. And we could just do all this and beg people to move. But I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll take the Spirit of God to move a man and to change his heart. I'm a little intimidated about what I need to say tonight because I am somewhat ill-prepared. And when I began, you might notice that I'm ill-prepared. I don't like to be that way. I am a guy that likes everything lined up, and I'm the kind of guy that likes it all roped down and kind of know in advance what I'm going to say. And when I study, I do it by memory and sometimes and get my mind geared up before service. But the Lord's kind of threw me a curveball. But He told me that if I'd tell it, He'd help me. So I'm going to have to tell it. I've jotted down a few notes to the best of my knowledge, but I want you to turn to Romans chapter number 12. Very, very familiar scripture. Romans chapter number 12. And I'm going to deal with a subject tonight that I have not yet conquered. It's still a problem of mine. And I hate to confess that with all these preachers here, all these pastors, but I still have problems with the subject that we're going to talk about tonight. And probably after I'm done, they're going to say, well, he ain't coming to my church, but I hate it. But I just got to tell you what the Lord said. Romans chapter number 12, we're going to start reading in verse number 1, but when I get to a little part in verse number 2, I want to highlight it, and I'm going to highlight it with my voice. And I want to preach on this subject tonight, asking God to save your mind. Asking God to save my mind. You say, well, now, Brother Partain, you're telling me that you've never been saved. Oh, yeah, I've been saved, and a multitude of you have too. And we could all give our testimonies about when the Lord came into our hearts and saved our soul. But I'm going to tell you something that might hurt your feelings. When you got saved and asked the Lord to save your soul, He did not save your flesh. And that includes the mind. My mind, I'm trying to figure it out. I've been trying to figure it out for years. Sometimes the devil will take my mind and use it as a playground. Sometimes with things that are sensual and even sinful and lustful. And then there's times he's put things in my mind that has nothing to do with that side of the fence. He'll flip it over to the other side of the fence and tell me that everybody in the world hates me. You shouldn't have said that to her. You should not have said that to him. He's talking about you. They don't like you. And he'll just begin to build things in my mind. And I'm having a real hard time trying to figure all that out. But I've come to the conclusion that we might need to pause. I'm going to ask everybody tonight to get saved again. How about that? When you go home tonight, you say, you ain't going to believe what that preacher done. He told everybody in the church that they need to get saved again. But I am going to ask you at the end of the service, what about your mind? Have you ever come to the altar and asked God to save your mind? Now, I'm not pulling that away or belittling that from your salvation experience. I'm not trying to tell you that they're separate. I'm just trying to tell you that the peace of God that passeth all understanding, the Bible said, would keep your heart and would keep your mind. And the only way that we're going to have salvation or rescuing of the mind is for Jesus Christ to get in there and clean out every, here's an old-fashioned word, nook and cranny of your mind. I don't know what it means, but I heard my daddy say it. I believe that means that the Holy Ghost pulls out a broom and starts sweeping every corner and starts taking the rug out of your mind. You remember when Mama used to dust the rug, and when she pulled it up, there was stuff hiding underneath it. I believe that's the idea with our mind. We need to ask God to jerk the rug out of our mind, take the Holy Ghost broom and sweep out every corner and cleanse us, cleanse our mind, that the Holy Ghost of God can keep our mind. Asking God to say, well, the Lord told me He'd help me, and I'm already feeling Him right now. Whoo, I thank Him, because I was really nervous about this thing. Asking God to save my mind. Well, the Bible says, I beseech you. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. I never forget a man that preached that. He was my youth director, and he brought out a transformer. Y'all remember transformers with his little boys? And he literally took and transformed it. And that was his illustration. It stuck in my mind. And I still today remember him using that transformer. The Lord's telling us here that we can have something. We don't have to be conformed to this world. We don't have to have that. We can actually be transformed. And by the way, that little word in your Bible there is the Greek word metamorpho. Where we get our word metamorphosis. It's a changing of the mind. Watch, here's what happens now. Be not conformed to the world, but we've got to be transformed. How are we going to do that? By the renewing, are you seeing it? By the renewing of your mind. Somehow, we've got to ask God to change our mind. Asking God to save my mind. An old Puritan writer said it like this. When it came to the mind, he said this: I must convince the mind before God can win the heart. Are you listening to that? You say, well, if God wants to change me, He'll have to do it because I just can't do nothing about it. Boy, isn't that a lazy perspective of how to clean yourself up? Just laying yourself down and saying, now, Lord, if you're going to do it, you're just going to have to do it. Oh, no. There is a will inside of a man. And I'm telling you, that will of man needs to press toward the will of God and let God cleanse your heart and cleanse your mind. Asking God to save my mind. Never asked Him to do that before till the other day. I laid my old brain out on the altar and I said, I can't do this no more. I said, breath, I've breathed you for the last time. What you do from here on out's your business, amen? I mean, it was those moments where I got tired of my mind trying to get a hold of me. I'm what you call a hypochondriac. I get every disease of every person that I visit. If they got a certain disease and I visit them, I'm going to come home with it. By midnight, I'll be in the emergency room myself. These measles is going around, and I feel measly tonight. I feel it in my bones. I feel a little measly tonight. I have Germex underneath the pulpit at my home church, and sometimes we fellowship and sometimes we don't. I'll say we're not going to fellowship this Sunday because several's got the flu and we're just not going to pass it around. But I will pass around some Germex if anybody would like a squirt. I'm a hypochondriac. The devil can take this little mind up here and twist it all around. I've had him tell me all kind of lies. He's lied. He's woke me up in the middle of the night and lied to me. When I'm trying to sleep and do right and do good, and wake me up in the middle of the night and try to discourage me and get me down and tell me nobody loves me. I'm tired of all that. What am I going to do? I think I need to ask the Lord to save my mind. My mind. And whether you men want to admit it or not, I realize your wife's here and mine's not. So if you don't say amen, that won't offend me. But every one of you's got a problem with your mind. Now, how do you know that, Brother Carl? Because you a man. And if you don't have a problem, then you ain't a man. You a sissy. Is that all right to say? I'm not going to tell you what to call them in Alabama. Old Kentucky man said that little quirr. Huh? Are you with me? Every one of you's got a problem. Don't act spiritual on me tonight. Every one of us has got a problem with our minds a-wondering. I don't know what you women go through. I ain't never been one. And I don't plan on changing. But I know what you men face. And what we battle and the battles that take place in our mind, and we need to pause and ask the holy God of heaven that has the peace that passeth all understanding to cleanse our heart and to cleanse our mind. It's the only way we're going to have peace. Asking God to save my mind. Boy, this message is turning out to be good and I'm liking it. Woo! I thank the Lord. I like that shooting from the hip stuff. Let me say it to you like this, a little few notes that I've taken down. What you think is normally what you truly are. What you think is normally what you truly are. You see, you're looking at me and you're saying, oh, look at Brother Partain in his nice little suit. Boy, couldn't his little kids sing? Oh, that they wonderful. I just love them. That's the Carl Partain you know. Y'all going to have to help me. Y'all think I'm the worst sinner that's ever lived. Y'all think I'm Charles Manson standing up here or something. I'm just trying to be honest with you. It's the truth. And people want the truth. They don't want you to get up here and make them think that you're holier than thou. They want to know that you live where they live. And honey, I'm a living where you live. What you think's what you truly are. Not what people think. Not what people believe you to be. Not what family believes you to be. And not what your friends believe you to be. I can cover all that up. But when I get home and it's just me and God, He looks right through the facade. He looks right through the Baptist. He looks right through the suit. He goes all the way down to the bone and the marrow. And He looks all the way down, the Bible said, to the reins, all the way on the inside of me. And He knows Carl Partay. And sometimes I think I make Him sick when He looks at me. It wasn't for the blood of Christ and the cleansing that has taken place in my life, I'd probably just have to leave here and go straight to hell. A lot of people like to act spiritual when you're really not. Are you with me? I'm not up here telling you I'm a bad man. I'm not up here telling you I'm living in sin or adultery. But I'm telling you, there's a playground in old Brother Partain's mind. And you men, as Brother Ken Bowman says, shake that muley head. You know I'm a-telling the truth. Ladies, don't know what you go through, but I believe there's the same devil for you as it is for the man. And I don't know exactly what avenue he takes to get to your mind, but there's things that'll happen in women's mind. And if you ain't careful, the devil will take control of it. And we got to ask God to save our minds. Save my mind, Lord. How am I going to be transformed? I'm going to tell you how he's going to do it. He said in Romans, renew your mind. By the renewing of my mind. You see, the mind. The mind responds to mental images. My mind. It responds to mental images. My mind takes pictures. All day long, it takes pictures. Things that I see, things that I've made up, by the way. It can be something you see or something made up, but your mind will take a mental image every time. I think it's what happened to the prodigal boy. He's a living in the king's house. He's eating the king's food, his daddy's food. He's living it up. He's got a pretty good life. But something happened. He started taking mental images of a faraway country. He started thinking that it was better far down the road. And he began to imagine things. No doubt it all started in his mind. And he began to imagine, hey, my friends is having fun over there on the other side of the track. I think I'm going over there. And his mind began to take mental images. That's what happened to that old boy. It's what happens to our children, especially our public school kids. Isn't it amazing? As long as they're out for the summer, they're the most spiritual children you've ever seen. Come on, help me now. If you're a school teacher, I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. I face it. Maybe it's just that way in Alabama. Let me just say Alabama so nobody gets mad at me. But in Alabama, my kids will get out of public school and they're just so happy, love Jesus, want to sing in the youth choir, can't wait to be around God's people. And then all of a sudden around the end of August, something happens. They change their attitude. They change their thoughts. They change their ways. What has happened, Brother Carl? I tell you what's happened. The devil has got in there and took some pictures in their mind. And the next thing you know, their mental images have taken over. Got to ask God to save our minds. Because what you think is really what you are. Why do you think Paul said, hey, boys? That sounded like Brother Ken, didn't it? Hey, boys. I got to think myself happy. Did Paul say that? I think myself happy. Why do you do that, Paul? Because the devil wants me to think sad and bad and evil of others. But I have to constantly get control of myself and tell my mind you ain't going down that avenue. And tell my mind, you got to lay down, boy. You ain't going to get a hold of me today. And he said, I have to think myself happy. Nearly every day he has to think himself happy. So let me ask you this question. If what we think is truly what we are, who are you? Look at Clint. Has one of them fancy hairdos where you just kind of go, huh? William, he has to use two hands. Jacob just gets out of the bed and sprays it. And Brother Billy don't care. Look at Clint right there. Now, I'm using Clint because I know I can. Some of you might get mad if I used you. Clint's a handsome man. I don't mean that in a bad way. I got one amen from his mama, and that was it. Clint's a good-looking fella. Dresses good. I think he's clean. I think he's a good boy. I think he's got a good wife. I think he's a good pastor. I think he's a good preacher. I think he's a good singer. But that don't mean a hill of beans what I think. God knows down inside that boy, And Brother Clint, no matter how much we come in here and say, hey, brother, isn't God good? Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't it good at being Ritter Jubilee? Praise God. Sometimes I think God looks down on us and goes, shh, idiots. Who are you? You look good. You smell good. You're at church on Friday night. Well, I guess that's pretty good. But who are you really? Because what you think in your mind is normally who you really are. And when we learn to change our thoughts, then you can change your mind. Are you getting it? When we decide to change our thoughts, then we can go inside of ourselves and change our minds. Transform, metamorpho, making the change in our minds, cleaning it up for the glory of God, asking God to save my mind. I want to get to this next point. Listen to this next point. Every thought that you ever have, every thought you've ever had, every thought you ever have causes a physical reaction in your body. What was it? What was it? I don't have it wrote down. I'm trying to think. A man that commits, now I'm paraphrasing, no doubt, fornication, the Bible said in somewhere, he sins against his own body. Somewhere. That's quoted. He sins, sexual sin. He's sinning against his own body. That's physical, folk. What a man thinks in his mind, the thoughts that he processes in his mind, causes a physical reaction in your body. Proven fact. Not only biblically, but scientifically, it's proven. You worry, causes stomach ulcers, physical reaction. You have anger, something happens in your adrenal glands. Y'all know what I'm saying, don't you? Something happens right in there. And it causes a physical change. My wife has overactive them glands. And sometimes her body will react and them glands will kick in and her heart will begin to race. And she's learned how to get a hold of it now. But when it first happened, it scared her to death. Some physical reaction's going on in. You have anxiety, I face that. Anxiety, fear, guess what? Your pulse starts racing. You ever had something happen to you and you did, your body didn't really catch up with what just happened till later? Like a kid falls out of the bed in the middle of the night and all you hear is, and by the time that thing thumps, you're up and standing by the bed, and then here comes your body along with it. It's like catching up, and then your heart goes, and it finally just catches all up with you. And you think you're having a heart attack. Physical reactions. You get hungry. You get thirsty. You ever tried to go on a diet? And you promise yourself, this is it, boys. I'm cleansing my body. I'm detoxifying it. I'm going on Jenny Craig and Nutrisystem. If that Osmond woman can look like that, then sure as the world I can if I just order that stuff. They said I could lose 5 pounds in 5 days, is it? We'll whip out our credit card. We're going to change our looks and change our lifestyle. And then your body goes, uh-uh. And along about 12, it says, hamburger. I've tried it. I've tried it. And I'll try it again. I'll diet probably till I die. My wife's always trying to get me to do something. And let's try this. Let's try this. She got me on a cabbage soup diet one time. And I hated it. I had scars for 3 weeks. Are y'all with me? Sure, a man can lose weight. He eats cabbage all the time. Are y'all all right? Y'all theologians ain't liking this, are you? We got the Sanhedrin. Look right there. That's the Sanhedrin. Yeah. They're all texting one another right now saying, I won't have him. What about you, brother? When I get hungry and I'm deciding I'm not going to eat, try fasting. Your body will retaliate. Same with every thought. Every thought that I had today caused a physical reaction in me. And Lord, we wouldn't want to leave out sexual thoughts. And I realize I'm in mixed company and I'll be as mature as I possibly can. But sexual thoughts even causes physical reactions in your body. What you think, it causes your body. One said this, your subconscious mind, is 12% reasoning and 88% images. You only reason with like 12% of your mind. The rest of it is pictures that you've taken, like a photo album. And I tell you what I've had the devil do. I was 12% spiritual, got behind a pulpit or sitting on the front bench of a church. Praise God, going to meeting. And then the 88% kicked in and I started seeing images that my mind took pictures of during the day. Thank you, Brother Brian. I believe you're the only one that sins with me. Thank you, Brother Brian. It's the truth. Now look, I'm not encouraging you to say amen or shout the house down, but I am going to encourage you at the end of the service. We got to ask God to change us. Something got to happen to my mind. I need to cleanse it. You say, well, I just don't believe you can do that. I believe God can help it. I believe he can give me a peace that'll keep it, keep and protect my heart and my mind. Keep the devil from getting in there and making a playground out of it. Prodigal son. The Bible said he went to that far country, and I'm not going to talk all about it. Here's that little phrase, Luke being a physician now. Luke being a physician said these words. He came himself. He came to, that's a physician's term, by the way. When I had gallbladder surgery, they took my gallbladder out. Well, that's a dumb illustration I was under. Let me use another illustration. Anytime anybody has surgery, they come out and tell the family, he done fine. Everything's over. He's coming to. In recovery. Coming to. Physician's term. What happened to that boy? Something's happening in his mind. Bunch of images has caused him to stray. He thought it was better over yonder. So he strayed away because of images in his mind. Because of his thought process. And the devil sung him a lullaby and put him to sleep. But now he's a coming to. Something's happening. And when he came to himself. You know that's what needs to happen to probably some middle-aged and some teenagers tonight. You need to come to. Devil's done put you to sleep, gave you anesthesia. I started to say anesthetic, but that's like Germex, isn't it? Anesthesia. And put you to sleep. Let's just say it like this. He gave you a sleeping pill. And he put you to sleep. Some of you need to come to tonight. And cleanse your heart and cleanse your mind. Let me give you this last thought and I'll be done. If left alone, I got this one on the way down here while my son was driving, so I don't know what I wrote down. If left alone, your mind, if it's left alone, your mind can take a different route every time. And when it goes that different route, it often leads to anger. And it often leads to jealousy. And it often leads to envy and bitterness and backbiting, which has caused more church splits and has caused more discord and has caused more conflict and families against families than anything that's ever been. Just because the mind's left alone to do what it wants. That's why the Bible said a child that's left alone, left to themselves. Can't leave a child to themselves. You crazy mom and daddies sending your kids out, letting them stay out to 1 o'clock in the morning with some long-haired hoodlum. You can't leave a child alone. You say, well, she turned 16. Big deal. That's when they get in trouble the most. As long as that 20-year-old rascal is living in my house, he's going to have a curfew. He's going to come home when I tell him. He's going to eat what I tell him. He's going to follow by my rules. And you mamas and daddies ought to just get your head out of the sand and get in there with me. Amen. Child that's left to themselves. I'm tired of the government telling me how old my child can be before they do things. I've got 16, 17, almost 20-year-old right there. And there's some that the government said they can have driver's license at 16. And there's some I'll look at their mom and say, ain't no way. I've got a blonde that's coming up. How old is she? She's 13. I've got about 2 years before she hits that learner's license thing. But honey, she couldn't find her way out of a wet paper sack. She can't drive no car. But us moms and dads, we'll let the government tell us, oh, they're 16, put them in a car, and then they die, act foolish, cause they're immature, and do things they ain't supposed to do. Leave a child to themselves. They'll bring shame to their mama, reproach to their daddy. Child left to themselves. By the way, I have restraints on all this technology too. You think that your little precious child is going in a room and closing the door and locking it and not doing anything wrong, you are crazy. There's too much junk out there on the internet for them not to get in trouble. And those that say, well, this is my room, you can't come in. Honey, the doors are coming off the hinges. I'm a preaching now, Brother Melvin. Boy, I'm feeling good tonight. We're liable to be here another hour and a half. I'm telling the truth now because your mind, the devil will take that little youngin's mind and corrupt it. Need God to save my mind. Hey, some of you old men know what I'm talking about. Go home late at night and get on that computer when your wife goes to bed. Don't blame it all on the teenagers. The societies are killing us. This digital technology is a killing us. It's killing us. You know what we need to do tonight? We need to ask for salvation again. But this time said, Lord, get my mind. Help my mind. God, relieve my mind. I'm sure you've heard this before. It's nothing, probably nobody. You remember the man that's in prison now, the Kent Hovind? Saw him on the news in prison for tax evasion. And a lot of that, I really don't know about him, but I have seen his videos. He's what they call a creationalist, a scientific guy that tells you biblically where dinosaurs come from, and he's really into that. And he ties it in with the Bible. And he lets you know that the earth is really only 6,000 years old if you're a creationist. And he leads you into all that, and I've watched his videos, but he gave an illustration one time, and here's what he said. Let's see if I can get you here. He said, a man left home jogging. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He went a little further and turned left. But as he was approaching home, he saw two masked men waiting on him when he got home. Now, if you're normal, your mind went where mine went when I first heard that. You thought that a man put his jogging pants on and he's a-running around the block. He's left home and he's jogging. And he goes down one block, turns left. He goes down another block, turns left. And by the time he gets to the house, there's two robbers in his home. Did your mind go there? That's where mine went. But then that Hovind said, oh no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a baseball game. A man leaves home jogging. When he gets a little ways, he turns left. And when he gets to second base, he turns left. And when he gets to third base, and when he's approaching home, he sees two masked men. Same story, two different outcomes. And did you know the devil will do your mind just that way? Somebody will say something that really they had no intentions of the way you're taking it. And you'll lay out a church till they send the visitation team to try to find you. And pout and stick your lips out because you thought something was said and then people didn't even mean it that way. What happened, Brother Partain? Your mind. That's why we need God. Cleanse my mind right here in this altar. I got to get my mind cleansed. Because if my mind is left alone, the devil would do that with my mind. I'll give you this story and I'm done. Two families here recently. Cario. I don't know where that's at. Cario. It's some foreign place. This family was from this area. Now listen now. Watch this. I'm gonna create an imaginary line right down the church here. You're one family and you're the other. And if you'll read between these lines, you can see it. It's a perfect picture of the Baptist church. Two families. They get along fairly well, but this one owns this side of the property. Then there's a fence, and this one owns this side of the property. Not a lot of communication, not a lot of talking, but they've got along pretty well just by leaving each other alone. But there was a problem. They shared a well. And the well pump went out. And they got in an argument over who's going to fix the well. One said, well, your family uses more water than mine does. Another one said, well, you got more girls than I got. And they end up getting in an argument over who's going to fix the well. It gets worse. It got so bad, 9 family members on this side, 9 family members on this side, 18 altogether, It got so bad that bullets went to flying. They started shooting one another. And the story says when it was said and done, 18 people lay dead over a well. Now this is what's going to break your heart. You know what it took to fix the well? A part that cost 55 cents. Are y'all reading between the lines? It saved me 5 minutes of preaching if y'all just read between the lines. 55 cents. You know what I done? I took 55 cents and divided it by 18. You know what I come up with? Just a little over 3 cents per life. That's how much they valued their life. 3 little copper pennies. Over something that could have been resolved. But I'm going to tell you what happened. Something got in their mind. And whatever got in their mind got in their heart. Whatever got in her heart, got in her gun, began to shoot over something that anybody could have raised the money to get. Oh, it's no different than the flight from New York to Miami. The plane that crashed in the Everglades, 143 people died. You can Google that. You can see it yourself. 143 people perished in the Everglades some years ago. They said the airplanes are coming in. And they're almost there now. They're almost home. Are y'all reading between the lines? They're almost home. And he mashes the button that lets his tires down. Light didn't come on the dash. Now there's either a major problem or a small problem. He said either that light bulb's blowed or them wheels really didn't come down. So he sent the man down there. Extra guy back here. Go check. Go down the bottom. Check, see if them tires are out. He come back with a report. He said, no problem, sir. They're down. We're ready to land. But the black box said, while the pilot, the co-pilot, and the wingman fooled with changing that light bulb that cost 75 cents, they lost. They plunged 143 people into the Everglades. Little things. Maybe 200 people here tonight. No telling how many's here on Sunday. And if we ain't careful, we'll let one little 75 cent so-called Christian bring the whole ship down. Somebody just comes in on Sunday to get a feel good and drop their dollar bill in the offering plate and feel like they got a dose of religion will hurt your feelings and bring the whole ship down. And it all starts right there. Is God satisfied with you? Drew? We're satisfied with Him, aren't we, buddy? I'm satisfied with Him. But is He satisfied with me? That'd be a good song for you to sing for invitation. Would you do that for me? Come sing it for me. God satisfies my soul. God's been my friend. But is He satisfied with me? You know what I'm asking you to do tonight on this very first Friday night here of this winter jubilee? With me just as lost as a goose, I wondered what I was going to preach tonight, nervous as I could be. I was so hoping the service would just kick over and y'all would shout to midnight. But God shut everything down and said, go, I'm going to help you. He did help me. He did help me tonight. He helped me preach tonight. I'm asking you, if God's going to change my mind about the service, I wonder if He's wanting you to change your mind. Might be a good night to kick it off by coming down to the altar, young and old, and saying, Lord,
rescue this. Save my mind. I've got to be transformed, Lord. And you said that the way I've got to do it is by renewing my mind. And Lord, I just want to ask for a renewal tonight. Just a renewal. As Drew sings this song, you'll stand with us. Who'll be the first to come down here and ask the Lord?